All right. Good morning, Trace. How are we feeling this morning? And if you want more room, there is room at the 8:30 and the 11:30, just so you know. We're going to have to start making some of you guys move out of this service, which is awesome. It's a great problem to have. So thankful all of you are joining us today. If you are new with us, my name is Aaron. I'm the lead pastor here. And if you're not in a hurry today, we got this new thing that we're doing where I want to share three things about our church in 3 minutes, but it's right after the service. And so I'm going to meet you in what we call the VIP room, which is a little room right when you walked into the doors of the church. I'm going to share three things with you about our church in 3 minutes. So if you're not in a hurry, don't even go grab your kids yet. We'll take care of them. Just come meet me in there real quick and I'll share that with you. Sound good? Sounds good. All right. Hey, today we're continuing in this series called We Are Trace. And this series is giving us an opportunity to take inventory, both where we're at as a church. And if you're new, where we're at, part of that story is that we're coming up on our 7-year anniversary. We're 7 years old in September 10th. Let's go. The year of Jubilee, and I might even preach a message on the year of Jubilee. We'll see where God leads me. But we're excited about that. But again, this series is giving us an opportunity to take inventory of kind of like, where are we? Where are we as a church? Where are we? But maybe more importantly, where we're going. And so last week, I kicked us off by talking about the importance of being on mission with Jesus. That no matter how excited we are about experiencing what God is doing in this church, you know, maybe it's the culture, maybe it's the kids ministry, the student ministry, maybe it's mission ready men, whatever it is, there's a lot of things we could be excited about, but if we're not in alignment with where Jesus is leading us, or maybe I should say that differently, what he established 2,000 years ago when he actually started the church, if we're not in alignment with that, then everything else that we're doing is in vain and we all need to go home, truly. And so last week I talked about the importance of making sure we're in alignment with Jesus and what he came to establish. And so we looked at what I call the ABCs of church, that we need to know our assignment, that we need to believe in the most important belief in the resurrection and also in resurrection power, that we're not doing this on our own will or volition, that we really are partnering with God and we have the power of the resurrection in us, working through us. And then we talked about C, when it comes to ABCs of church, C is count the cost, count the cost. That when we decided to say yes to Jesus, that there should have been a process of us counting the cost. Am I ready to fully surrender to God, to fully commit to him? Not just the things that I want to and kind of still keeping my own stuff over here that I'm going to continue to kind of live in and do my, do my own thing. No, it's a full commitment. It's fully devoted. It's a life surrendered, fully abandoned. And we talked about how it's not some to Jesus, I surrender. It's all to Jesus, I surrender. We need to count the cost. And so that's what we talked about. But today, what I want to do is I want to talk to you about the importance of having a compelling vision as a church. In other words, what are we going after together? Last week, I talked about how we are going after something together, and it's going to be significant, and it's going to take all of us, and it's going to take sacrifice. And when it comes to a vision of a church, what I don't want to do is I don't want to insult God with small ambitions. Hopefully, you don't either. Like when it comes to what we're trying to accomplish, I'd hate to put something in front of God to where he says, that's it. Like, that's all you're going after? I hope that when we put a vision in front of God, he sees first that it's not just about building our own little kingdom, that we're trying to build his kingdom, and that we're going after something that's really going to take all of us to be able to accomplish and pull off. But when it comes to vision, I also think it's important to not just look within the walls of our church, that we have to look beyond the walls of this church. We have to look beyond the walls or maybe the boundaries of the city, that we as a church have the potential to make a difference in this nation and around the world. And if I had time, I would share with you how we are already doing that. We're already doing that. But I believe that God wants us to look beyond the walls of this church because there's the opportunity for us to create a wave of gospel presence and influence all around this nation and throughout the world. I want us to have a God-sized vision that when God looks down, he sees a church that he wants to bless. He sees a church that he wants to get behind. He sees a church that is not just interested in building their own little kingdom, but are ready to invest in his. And so before we're done today, I want to share with you what that vision is. I want to share with you what I feel like God has led me specifically to put on some paper and say, God, what if we went after that? What if we went after that? Before we get there, I feel like it's important that I build some things for us to help you to understand the significance of what we are putting down as our vision as a church. And so to do that, I'm going to start here, but I'm going to need some crowd participation. And so kind of warm up your arms really quick. Ready? If you're 28 years old or older, and you grew up in a church context, and the reason I'm starting with 28 is because that's kind of like the bottom end of millennials and then everybody older than that. If you're 28 years old or older, and you grew up in some kind of church context, raise your hand. Keep them high, keep them up, don't put them down, keep them up, keep them up, keep them up. If you ever remember your church actually helping to plant and start a brand new church, keep them up. If not, put them down. And if you noticed, about 75% of the hands just went down. And for those of you that have hands still remaining up, praise God for you being a part of a kingdom-minded multiplying church. I didn't tell you to put your hands down, by the way. You're not. No, I'm just kidding. You can't. I'm just kidding. I grew up in a denominational context in the South. And not only did I never hear our church talk about planting or starting a brand new church, sometimes they made the church down the street the enemy. Sometimes the way that things were communicated from the stage, it's as if the church down the street was our competition. And what happens, unfortunately, too often in the church world is, and I would tell you that I've felt this at times, I have to be careful with this, where it's like, we start focusing so much on what we're doing just here that we miss what God's doing everywhere else. And our opportunity to invest in what he's doing everywhere else. And I believe that if we look beyond the walls of this church and we greatly invest specifically in church plants and other church endeavors and ministry or organizations that are already taking ground for the kingdom, I believe our impact could be exponential. And so I don't want to be short-sighted when it comes to what we want to accomplish as a church. I do want to look beyond the walls of our church. Hold that thought. I'll come back to it. This past week, I got the opportunity to go up to Montana with a bunch of Orchard church planters. And Orchard is the church planting network that we're a part of that helped plant our church. And it's kind of a brotherhood. And I got to go up there with 12 other planters who have incredible churches all around the nation. And I can't tell you how good that was for my soul. And we talked a lot. We prayed together. We cried together, truly. And we fish together, praise God, hallelujah, amen. this is mine, and then the next fish is Brent's, and Brent's the president of Orchard, and I'm not gonna lie, his fish was a little bit bigger. It's not a competition, but if it was, he won. And it's just such a great week, and it was an incredible reminder for me of what God is doing outside the walls of this church, all around the nation. And how these guys are just such an encouragement to me because they're not interested in building their own little kingdoms. They're interested in investing in God's kingdom. And for what it's worth, some of these churches invested in this church when we first got started. Some of you may not know this, but right now we are investing in our first church plant through Orchard at a high level. And you got to hear from Pastor Isaac back in July. He was also here back in January, February, one of the two. And he's planting what's called Rue Church in Tampa on September 10th. And he's a part of our church planting network, Orchard. And we're getting behind him. And we've put aside $100,000 to invest in that church plant. Yeah, let's clap for that. Thank you. And I'm glad you're clapping because some people are like, why in the world are you giving away $100,000 when we're trying to find the future home of Trace Church? I'm glad you asked. Because we're not interested in building our own little kingdom. We're interested in building God's, amen? We're interested in building God's, yes. And how many of you know it's going to take a lot more than Trace Church to make a dent in what the devil has done to this nation? Yeah. And it's because of that conviction that I do feel it necessary for us to cast a bigger vision, to put some targets in place of what we're aiming towards together that will cause us, hopefully, to drop to our knees more and ask for God's help to ask for God's guidance, to ask for his provision, to dig deeper into the well of what the Holy Spirit can do, and we know he can do, but relying on it more. Maybe we could think of it this way. If God looked down at Trace Church and said, Trace, what do you want? Truly. Trace Church, what do you want? What do you want? My hope is that after today, that we have a clear, compelling vision to where we know how to answer God. God, this is what we want. And we've taken the time and we've done our due diligence to make sure that this isn't just about us. It's not about just building this little kingdom. It's about building yours, which means it's got to go outside the walls of this church. Some of you, if you're potentially, even if you're new to faith and you're wondering like, are we allowed to ask God what we want? Like, are we allowed to do that? Like, I'll take a Mercedes. You know, it's not that. Some churches teach that. Stay away from those churches. But God actually encourages us to ask for things, especially if they're in alignment with what he already desires. Let me show you a couple examples. In John chapter 15, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. In other words, if we are together looking and going after the same target, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so prove to be my disciples. In James chapter 2, verse 3, James says, you have not because you ask not. God wants us to ask. He wants us to ask. But potentially the most compelling text is a parable that Jesus once taught called the parable of the persistent widow. And I want to read it to you. It's in Luke chapter 18. One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, and he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. And all God's men said, don't even say that. No, just kidding. I'm going to see, sorry, I have to laugh at my own jokes sometimes. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson, Trace, from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think that God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? You see, through this parable, I believe that we learn that God wants us to plead with him on things that matter to us, but especially if they also matter to him. And you just need to know that as a church, we are ready to press into this. We are ready to press into God for greater things. So when God looks down at Trace Church and says, Trace, what do you want? What do you want? That we're answering with a clear and compelling answer that we believe aligns with the heart of God. Now, to be clear, what I don't want to do is I don't want to throw out these big numbers that sometimes I've seen churches do where it's like, we want to be 50,000 people in 5 years. And blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, probably not. Probably not. So I don't want to put something out there that sounds so ridiculous that when I say it, all of you are like, that's probably never going to happen. And honestly, just to let you kind of inside who I am as a person, I don't like the idea of making the size of a church, the focus of a church. And some churches that I've known that have done that, what happens is, you know, these big numbers have the tendency to overshadow the importance of one number. You, your story, the significance of one person who finally gets it, that they've been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. And they get it, and they're ready to give their life over to it. That's why this statement is so important to us around here, that every number has a name. Every name has a story. Every story matters to God. The size of a church should never be the primary focus in the story of a church. Now, and I should say, however, I also don't like the statements or the sentiments that are like, hey, we want the church to stay this size because this is the kind of size that we like as a church. Because what that communicates is that comfort and preference are more important than kingdom impact. And let me just take a time out here. I've been wanting to do this for a while. For those of you that have been with us for a while, potentially from the very beginning, I know we're growing. I mean, look around. And I know some things are changing. And man, in the beginning, you know, for those of you that are around, we were getting up at 5 a.m. and pulling trailers because we were doing setup and tear down at Liberty High School. I mean, it's a different type of connection. And man, we were just in it and we were trying to get something started and off the ground. And the level of connection was so deep. And as we grow, it becomes a little bit harder. And I just want you to know, like, we're working hard to keep some of those connections and the depth of community that we started with. And for those of you that have decided to stick around with us, even though things have changed, thank you so much. Especially if you've been here with us for a long time. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for staying with us and helping us transition through a lot of change. Can we just give it up from the people that have been with us from the very beginning? We've had people leave our church already simply because they said it was getting too big. We've had others come to our church and they say we came here because it was smaller. Size, I guess, is subjective, isn't it? But can I just say it again? When it comes to church, we cannot pursue comfort and convenience, but also be all in on the Great Commission. Can't do both. And since I brought it up a couple times, let me go ahead and read what the Great Commission is. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus came to and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. In other words, what I'm about to tell you, I've got all authority to tell you. This is what is next. Therefore, go and make. Now, those are two incredibly, I could preach a whole sermon on this. Those are two really big words. Because what he doesn't say is sit and take. He says go and make. In other words, if you're gonna sign up to be on Team Jesus, he's got something next for you. This was never about you saying, man, I got my fire insurance and I feel good and I've got the grace of God forgiving all my sins in the past, present, and into the future. And so I'm gonna just sit and take it easy now. That was never an option, ever. Jesus made it clear. I'm getting ready to ascend to it. This is what he says before he ascends into heaven after his resurrection. I'm getting ready to go. And now, before I do, I need to tell you what's next if you're gonna be on my team. Go and make, not sit and take. Not just come in here and consume and take what you can from this church or faith or grace. Go and make. There is an action to your decision to be on Team Jesus. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you. You're not going to be alone. I am with you even to the end of the age. Now, I can't speak for you, but when I read that, I think it's crystal clear that Jesus wants to grow heaven. And he primarily wants to do that through us. He has commissioned us with the greatest calling that we will ever have in our earthly lives, to go and make disciples, to teach people about the grace of God. And if you've ever wondered what your calling is as a Christian, it is to pay for the grace that you've been given, period. It's that simple. It's to pay for the grace that you have already been given. And I don't know about you, but I'm on Team Jesus. And I wanna take that commission seriously. And I wanna do everything in my power to not grow this little kingdom, but to grow the kingdom of God through this church and through investing in future churches all around this nation and world. Yeah, go for it. At the end of my life, when I close my eyes for the very last time, something that we all have in common, I got to start taking this thing off. I really do hope I get to stand in the presence of Jesus and hear the words, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. You know what he won't say? Well said. Well said. Because he's not interested in spiritual platitudes. He's not interested in hype. He's not interested in how good of a sermon I could preach. He's interested in what I did on his behalf. And so my hope is that I get to stand in front of him and he really does say, Aaron, well done, good and faithful servant, because you staked it all on the gospel and you left the consequences to me. What I won't hear is, Aaron, you crushed it at drawing big crowds. Did you see how many people came for Christmas and that light show? Man, you guys killed it. That was incredible. And how many people thought you were a cool pastor because you had a tattoo and some rips in your jeans? Some of you are new. I've said this a lot. I have no interest in being a cool pastor, but I don't mind being a little bit crazy. I don't mind being a little bit crazy. Yeah, I really don't. I'm not going to hear any of that, but I do hope that somebody, I really do, and I hope you hear this too, that somebody says, Aaron, people of Trace, each and every one of you by name, just thanks for not just trying to build your own little kingdom, but building mine. We are going to grow the kingdom of God. We have been commissioned, and we're going to grow it through this church, and we're going to grow it through investing in other churches. So let me share with you what I'm calling our plus one vision. Now, if you've been around here for a little while, you know that plus one was the label that we used for our campaign back in the spring, in February and March, where we came together with a big goal of $2.3 million that we wanted to have committed over the next 2 years so that we could be prepared to buy our future home. And hopefully I'm going to be able to share some news with you here soon. We're working really hard on that, trying to figure out a lot of things on that, but we're not there yet. And so that's what we called it, plus one. But we decided we liked that language so much that we're going to transition it from simply being our campaign language over into the vision of this church. And so our plus one vision starts here, that we want everyone to have a plus one. And once again, to be clear, that is your commission. That is your calling. That this has never been about sitting and taking. It's about going and making. Jesus made it crystal clear. And my hope is that this language starts to become incredibly common in our serve teams and in the children's ministry and the student ministry and our small groups, where somebody looks at you consistently and constantly from time to time and just says, hey, who's your plus one right now? Who's your plus one? Because this was never about us just settling for what the salvation of Jesus would do for us. Our commission and our calling is to take the grace that we have been saved by and to carry it forward to our neighborhoods, to our workplaces, to the city, to this nation, and throughout this world. We have been commissioned. If we're on Team Jesus, this was never about what it could do for us, just do for us. It's about us taking it forward and reaching as many people as we can with the gospel. It's about kicking, and I said it last week, and I love this language. It's about kicking down the doors of hell and taking back what rightfully belongs to God. We have been commissioned, church, commissioned. We cannot settle. The gospel is simply too precious to settle on only what it can do for me. Plus one includes all of us if we're on Team Jesus. To have somebody else that we're thinking about, that we're praying about, that we write down their name and that we're committed to asking God to give us every opportunity possible to invite them into a saving relationship with Jesus, to invite them into this church. You've heard me say this a lot. Maybe your invitation is the beginning to their transformation and ultimately their salvation. You never know what's going to be on the other side of an invitation, but all of us need to have a plus one. This includes all of us. Who is your plus one? If you don't have them right now, then start today praying on who that needs to be. I pray that God would burden us for at least one person that we know that doesn't know Jesus. And we would begin praying and committing time of investing in them at a deeper level, not making them a project, but just hoping they would receive the grace that we've already been given. second part of our plus one vision is that we're going to plant one church every single year. And we're going to do this. The primary vehicle, pretty much the exclusive vehicle that we're going to do this through is going to be through Orchard, our church planting network. And I don't know about you, especially if you grew up in a similar context like me, but I am pumped to be a part of a church that says we're going to look outside the walls of this church and we're going to help start a brand new church every single year. Anybody else excited to be a part of a church that says we're not just going to focus here? And I'm going to share... We're gonna celebrate with those other churches, and when they hit milestones and when they have baptism weekends and whatever it looks like, we're gonna celebrate with them because we're in it for the kingdom, not this little kingdom. And so every single year, and what that looks like is we're gonna commit $100,000 every single year to start a brand new church. I've said this before, and I believe it to the bottom of my toes. One of the greatest contributions you can make to the kingdom of God is help start a new church. A church, a local church, is the hope of the world when it's rooted on Jesus. And we're gonna start a new one every single year. The third part of this vision is that I want to increase our outreach budget every single year by 1%. And what this looks like right now, if you don't know this, we tithe as a church. That every year we give away 10% of what you give, we give to other mission organizations that we believe are making a dent against the devil. And so 5% of that goes to church planting, and the other 5 goes to local involvement. It goes to global involvement and a lot of different things. Missionaries that we've gotten behind, agencies that are, you know, pushing in hard on sex trafficking. And so we are committed to that, but I want it to be a lot more than 10%. I'll just be honest with you. Here in a few weeks, I'm going to have Pastor Rick from the Hills Church come and share with us 50% of all the money that comes into their church they give away to missions. 50%. And I love being able to point at churches like that because I can show you it's being done. It's being done. And so 1% a year until we get to 20%. That's the aim, that's the goal for now. So over the next 10 years, we will increase our giving outreach budget from 10% to 20%. And we were gonna do it 1% at a time. The last one is this. We are going after 1% of the people in the city of Colorado Springs. Let me build this for you because this is incredibly important, incredibly important. Before COVID, when you looked at the stats, about 11% of people in Colorado Springs were connected to the local church, about 11%. Since COVID, I know that number has gone down just based on stats alone, just the national average of stats of church attendance, it's gone down. We are, and if you don't know this, we're an anomaly actually being much bigger than we were pre-COVID, or much bigger now than we were pre-COVID. God's doing something here, guys. I hope you feel it and experience it. God's doing something special here. But the city average was 11%. Now after COVID, I have no doubt that it's below 10%. And everything in me, when I see that, it's like, I don't want to keep seeing those percentages go down. And so what if as a church, we said, we're gonna add 1%. We will take 1%. And my hope is, and I've got a lot of good friends that are lead pastors of churches in this city. My hope is that Zeal Church and Pikes Peak Christian Church and Academy Christian Church and Envoy, my hope is that a bunch of other pastors would say, we'll take 1%. We're going after this city. We can't do it all on our own, but we'll take 1%. And if you do the math really quick, some of you are already where it's like, whoa, that's between 5,000 and 6,000 people. I thought you said you didn't want to have a big church or wouldn't focus on having a big church. It's not about the number, that has to be crystal clear. It's about the fact that we should be willing as a church that's growing and thriving to say, we'll take 1%. We'll go after 1% of the city to reach them with the saving grace of Jesus. Would you wanna be a part of a church that's willing to do anything less than 1%? We will take 1%. I don't have a clue how we're gonna do it yet. I don't have a clue. I don't know, here's what I know. It's not gonna be just people coming to Trace. It could be church plants, it could be campuses. We definitely are gonna need a bigger building. We're working on that. But man, if I'm gonna lead this church, then just know we're gonna take 1%. I don't wanna see the percentages go down. And I can't speak for all the other churches, but can I speak for us and say, we will take a percent. We're going after the city with the saving grace of Jesus. I needed a sweat rag up here today, babe. Getting a little fired up. That's what happens when I get to go Montana for a week and fish. So you guys should send me more often. Now, as you can imagine, keep this up here. As you can imagine, to pull this off, it's going to take all of us. We're going to have to understand that this, the story of our faith was never about comfort, convenience, preference. It's about sacrifice. It's about counting the cost. It's about understanding that we've been commissioned. We got a job to do, truly. And so if you're on Team Jesus, and you just need to know, Jesus, like he's saying to us, I said it last week, you're gonna have to choose a side. I never gave you the option of kind of playing. I'm gonna play in the world, and then I'll play in, you know, the faith context when it makes me feel better. That was never an option. We've been commissioned. We got a job to do. So as you can imagine, this is going to cause us, I hope it does, to dig deeper into the power of the Holy Spirit. I hope it makes you drop to your knees from time to time. I don't want to over-spiritualize it or sensationalize it, but I hope it drops you to your knees from time to time. God, could you help us? Would you help us? Would you give us provision? Would you give us guidance? Would you do something that would just blow us all away? And as you can imagine, it's going to take additional resource. For those of you that have been giving to our church up till now, man, I cannot tell you how thankful I am that you've invested in the kingdom of God through Trace Church. Truly, what we've been able to accomplish would not have been possible without you. Do you know that just about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we celebrated 400 baptisms as a church? Let's go, somebody, let's go. And you just need to know right now, our giving has actually been trending down. And I'm going to say this strong today, okay? I need that to stop today. That's worth it. That's worth it. And I hope you see it. And for those of you that maybe have been sitting on the sidelines, I need you to step into the game. And right now specifically, and there's a lot of other ways, giving, serving, gathering with us consistently, getting in a group. Man, we got so many exciting things that we're ready to unveil for you over the course of this year that I just gotta tell myself to shut up because I wanna share them with you so much. But where we're going is going to take more provision. And to be clear, we have the money. It's just in your bank accounts. It's a true statement. Don't give here because we're trying to build Trace Church. Give here because we're invested and commissioned to building God's kingdom, period. Today, I want those of you that have maybe been sitting on the sidelines specifically when it comes to giving, and I'm just not gonna beat around the bush about it today, I'm just not. I need you to step up, and I need you to be reminded that you've been commissioned, that God's called you to be a part of this with us, that this is not a Lone Ranger game, that we are going after something significant together. And if we want this to become a reality, then we're going to have to step up in several ways. Specifically right now, I'm talking about giving. And so today, listen, I want this to change quickly and drastically. And by next week, I would love to see so many of you getting on our website, getting on our app, and setting up reoccurring giving because you believe in what we're going after together. You believe in it. And you want us to help, you want to help us accomplish it for the kingdom of God. Let me share with you one more thing, and then I'm gonna pray and we'll transition to response time. This is where we're at when it comes to, go ahead and jump to the other numbers. If you were with us in our Plus One campaign back in the fall, we were trying to get $2.3 million committed over the next 2 years. Out of that, we had two in our 2-year commitments, a little over $2 million, which is incredible. To date, we've had just shy of $600,000 committed. And so for those of you that made the commitments, thank you, and keep bringing and keep giving those commitments as you can, because we need them in place, especially as we position ourselves to buy our future home. But here's what I'm going to ask. If you're new with us, and we know there's still a lot of new people that weren't with us during that campaign time, between now and our 7-year anniversary on September 10th, would you help us to fill that gap? Would you help us to raise the other $265,000 that we're short? I have no doubt that we can do it. Honestly, the question is, will you be faithful in what God has called you to do? To be a part of this with us, to help us to go after something significant. So I'm going to leave that between you and God. Next week, we are going to have some of those commitment cards out that you can show us what your commitment's going to be, and you can turn that in on September 10th. And based on your commitments, we can start to prepare for where we're headed next. Let me pray for us. I'm going to transition into response time. God, I hope and I pray that this vision isn't insulting to you. I hope and I pray that this vision is something that you can see, that the motives are pure, that the direction aligns with what you have already determined that you want this church to be about. I pray that when our church today is learning about this for the first time, that they get it, that they can see it, they can tell it's not selfish, that they can tell that we are in this for the greater benefits and advancement of your gospel and your kingdom. This is not just about Trace Church. I have no doubt that this church can be influential throughout this nation and around the world, but we all have to see our part. God, help us to see the part that we play in making that a reality. God, I pray that this place continues to become just a special place where people, when they walk in here and they hear the pastor talking about they need to start giving day one, that they don't even question the motives because they can see the purity behind the ambitions, the sincerity behind what's being said. God, I think all of us truly would be blown away. We really would if we all came together and we get it, we got it, and we go for it. What we're able to do, what we could accomplish if we're all in, I think it'd blow us away. May that be our story. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.